Well, we are getting ready to continue into our series, Kids, You Get to Stay In this week. And we are getting ready to continue in our series talking about the last words of Christ. And one of these last words of Christ is a word that we've kind of thought about one way, but I want to give a different perspective, kind of something you might not have thought about this morning. So as we get ready to share, I first want to show a video. First, I want to show a video before we get started. Imagine, if you would, you're there around where Mary and Martha are at when their brother Lazarus died.
Oh, sure. Everyone's still talking about Jesus raising my brother from the dead. And don't get me wrong, I am elated that he's back. It's an astonishing miracle, really. But for me, I remember the story a bit differently. I sent word to Jesus that the one whom he loved, Lazarus, his friend, was dying. No doubt in my mind that he would come save his friend. But then the day turned to night, and I watched my brother slip away, one ragged breath at a time. The one who healed complete strangers left his friends to deal with the worst heartbreak imaginable. Alone. Well, we all know how the story ends. My dead brother came back to life because Jesus told him to. As sure as I'm standing here, it exposed some flaws in my faith. I thought he abandoned us. I thought he should have been there, and he was nowhere to be found. It felt like eternity. We had no hope that there could ever be a different ending. I mean, how could we? Shortly after that, we saw him nailed to a cross, struggling with the worst kind of abandonment. I mean, the Son of God, turns out, was abandoned by his Father. And nearly everyone else in his life, too. Brother Lazarus died. Jesus let us wait for a little bit because he wanted to show us that no matter how bad things get, there's always hope for a different ending.
I wonder what the people thought when they were talking about Jesus' crucifixion. When they come to the point where, as we find in Matthew 27, when he says, "Now, when the sixth hour, there was darkness over all the land until the ninth hour. And about the ninth hour, Jesus cried out with a loud voice, saying, 'Eloi, Eloi, lama sabachthani?' That is, 'My God, why have you forsaken me?'" I wonder what people thought when they heard that for the first time. Thought when they were there and they saw it get dark in the middle of the day. I wonder what was running through their mind. I wonder what was running through Martha's mind. This is a difficult part of the account. It's all difficult. But this is a difficult part of the account. Because you hear Jesus saying those words. You can't imagine to bear the sin of the world. It's got to be worse than having that crown of thorns shoved on his head. It's got to be worse than that cat of nine tails in his back. It's got to be worse than the pain that was inflicted on him. And him saying, my God, why did you forsake me? Abandon me. Leave me. Listen this week to a podcast. It was about a preacher who was going over to Cincinnati to do a conference. And he talked about just before he left to go to this conference, he had just found out that his wife was expecting. And then as he is literally driving to the conference, he gets a message from his dad. This is the first time his dad has contacted him in many, many years. He's trying to get back into his life. And he has tried to do this before. And every time he tries to do this, he will literally say anything he could to get back in. Lying was on the table. To say whatever he could to get back into his life. He said he called him and said one thing, said he called his brother and said something completely different. He told his brother, don't pay attention to the things that you hear about me. They're not true. But he says these things, and after he hears this, reads this message, he said that whole conference ended up being a blur. Because all those thoughts and feelings of abandonment came back to him. He says he remembers the day his father left him when he was 8 years old. He got in the car and said he'd just be gone for a couple weeks. Weeks turned to months, years. And that weighed on him, and then him realizing he's going to be a father, he was praying that he would not be like his dad. He was praying that he would not be like him. Because that feeling of being forsaken, he said, could cripple him. Could absolutely destroy him. And it can do the same thing for anybody else. That feeling of being forsaken, of abandonment. So I wonder what Martha thought. When Martha is praying to God, please heal Lazarus. Please heal him. And then they send a message to Jesus. Please come and heal him. And then he doesn't come. I wonder if that's what Mary thought for a little bit. Maybe God doesn't care about me. Maybe Jesus really doesn't care about me. And as we read there in the scripture, Jesus gets the message. And the apostles thought he would get up right then and they would just go nonstop. They would just go and get there. And Jesus doesn't do that. Jesus doesn't just rush to get there. And the apostles are confused. They don't understand. Martha, Mary, nobody understands what's going on. And then Jesus arrives. If you want to turn your Bibles, John chapter 11. John chapter 11. We're going to be here a couple different times. But in there, we read about what happens when he arrives. And we're going to start in verse 17 and read through verse 22. And listen to what it says. On his arrival, Jesus found that Lazarus had already been dead in the tomb for 4 days. Bethany was less than 2 miles from Jerusalem, and many Jews had come to Mary, Martha and Mary to comfort them in the loss of their brother. When Martha heard that Jesus was coming, she went out to meet him, but Mary stayed home. "Lord," Martha said to Jesus, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. But I know that even now God will give you whatever you ask. At first here, Jesus arrives. Martha comes up to him and says, "God, Jesus, why didn't you come here sooner? If you had only been here, you could have healed him." She felt like Jesus was apart, separate from Lazarus and them, and she didn't know why. Why was she separate? Why was she separated? Have you ever felt separated? Have you ever felt separated from somebody you love? Have you ever felt like there's been a situation happen and you weren't right with them and it didn't feel right? That's the first point I want to look at this morning. Being separated. Nobody likes to be separated. I remember when I was in high school, I was in the marching band, the concert band. I played trumpet. And there was a number of us who got the honor of playing in a regional marching band. So we went to this weekend thing where we got to practice with other musicians for the weekend, and in 2 days we had to prepare a concert. And there were a number of different groups, so we only really had to work on one song, but we had 2 days to learn it from scratch, get it down, and play it on a concert on a Sunday afternoon. And I remember that some of my other friends who are trumpet players went with us. There was two or three of us who were trumpet players that went from our high school. And we all stood in this big group, and the first thing they said is, "We're going to be splitting you up so you can go work in different groups." And they said, "We encourage you to meet new people, split up, and go work in different bands just to be able to meet new people and make some new friends." So they're getting ready to say, "Get up and go." And just before them, one of the girls went with us, grabbed my arm. And when I say grab my arm, I thought all the blood quit flowing in my arm. And she said, "You will not leave me. I am not going to go in a group and sit by myself. You are not leaving me." And I said, "I'll make you a deal. You let the blood flow back in my arm and I'll stay here with you." And I did. She did not want to be separated. Separated from people that she knew. Nobody likes that feeling of being separated. Nobody likes that thought of all of being separated from people you know. And Martha is there, wondering why Jesus didn't come, why Jesus wasn't there with them, with Lazarus. Why? Why wasn't he there? And then Jesus talks to her. And if you read there in John 11, we're going to read a little further, starting in verse 23. It says, "Jesus said to her, 'Your brother will rise again.' Martha answered, 'I know he will rise again in the resurrection at the last day.' Jesus said to her, 'I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me will live, even though he dies. And whoever lives and believes in me will never die. Do you believe this?' 'Yes, Lord,' she told him. I believe that you are the Christ, the Son of God, who is to come into the world. Can I ask you something? When you say you believe and when you say you trust God, when you pray, what are you expecting? Are you expecting it your way? Or we're going to God saying, God, we need help. Please help us, and we trust. In other words, are we treating him like a genie, or are we treating him like an eternal father? How do we treat God when we pray? Now, most of us would say, and we would say, oh, we treat him like our heavenly father. But there's so many that treat him like a genie. Please fix this for me now. Please take care of this now. Please, I want this. Please, if you can just fix this for me right now, that would be great. We want to pray, and then boom, 5 minutes later, problem solved, and we can go about our day. We pray to God for help, and we ask, and we ask, and we ask. And when God doesn't answer, then why is it that some people think, well, God just, he doesn't love me. He doesn't like me. He's not close to me. He's not near me. We feel kind of separated then. And then here Jesus is talking to Martha and saying, don't you trust me? You know who I am. Don't you believe? And then Martha just starts giving the generic answers. Yes, I believe that Lazarus will raise again. Yes, on the last day. Yes, everything will be fine that way. And Jesus says, that's not what I'm asking. I'm asking, do you trust me? Do you have faith? Do you believe? Or because it didn't happen the way you want, you feel kind of isolated, kind of pushed back, like God's not wanting to be with you. Jesus reminds Martha of who he is and what he can do. He reminds her that even though she's struggling, even though she feels separate, she's not. God is still right there with her. When we hear this all throughout Scripture, even when things are the absolute worst, God is there. Two passages, Psalm 23:4. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. Even through the worst, he's there. Even when we might think he's not there, he's there. Even when we don't get things the way we want, how we want those prayers to be answered the way we want, God is there. What did Jesus say at the end of Matthew? Matthew 28:20. And behold, I am with you always, to the end of the age. He will never leave us or forsake us. So if God will never leave us or forsake us, why do we still feel that way? Why do we still carry that when we know what the facts are? Jesus has said it. We believe his word to be true. So why do we still act that way? We've seen Mary or Martha go through that. Now we're going to see Mary kind of do the same thing. In verse 30 in John 11. Let's continue reading. Verse 30, it says this. Now Jesus had not yet entered the village, but was still at the place where Martha had met him. When the Jews who had been with Mary in the house comforted her, noticed how quickly she got up and went out, they followed her, supposing she was going to the tomb to mourn there. When Mary reached the place where Jesus was and saw him, she fell at his feet and said, Lord, if you had been there, my brother would not have died. When Jesus saw her weeping and the Jews who had come along with her also weeping, he was deeply moved in spirit and troubled. Where have you laid him? He asked. Come and see, Lord, they replied. Jesus wept. Then the Jews said, See how he loved him. But some of them said, could not he who opened the eyes of the blind man have kept this man from dying? We see Mary and those other people there basically saying these words, and it's my second point. I don't understand. I don't understand. They are confused or perplexed. They don't know why Jesus did it this way. Everybody is just, they don't understand. God, if you'd just been there, he'd be alive. Why weren't you there? Why didn't you come? Why didn't you come sooner? It's hard to consider when we go through things like that. When we go through a hard situation and say, God, I've been praying about this and praying about this and praying about this and nothing seems to happen. Why, Father? Do you not love me? Do you not care about me? Does it matter? And we say, God, I don't understand. I just don't understand. And then we start thinking, well, is God going to be there the next time? Was God going to be there the next time after that, or the next time after that, or the next time after that? And then we start feeling isolated and worried. We feel forsaken. But what did Jesus tell us? What did Jesus preach to us? In Matthew 6, we found Jesus told us to not worry. Let me read it here to you. Matthew 6, 25 through 32. Therefore I tell you, do not worry about your life. What you will eat or drink, or about your body, what you will wear. Is not life more important than food, and the body more important than clothes? Look at the birds of the air. They do not sow or reap or store away in barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much more valuable than they? Who of you, by worrying, can add a single hour to his life? And why do you worry about clothes? See how the flowers of the field grow. They do not labor or spin. Yet I tell you that not even Solomon, in all his splendor, was dressed like one of these. If that is how God clothes the grass of the field, which is here today and tomorrow is thrown into the fire, will he not much more clothe you? You of little faith, so do not worry, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For the pagans run after all these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them. Jesus is telling us, don't worry, you're not alone. I love one of those phrases in there. He says, just think about how valuable you are to God. God is there. He knows your needs. He is there at your side. We can have hope in him. Mary, Martha, and the people there are found questioning. They're wondering. They're in doubt. Why wasn't God there to help? And we can feel isolated and alone if we just let that corrupt our thoughts. If we just stay worried about it, we can feel separated. But remember, God will see us through. Jesus continued by saying in Matthew 6, but seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. Seek God first. Seek him first. Don't put your focus on worrying about it. It's not going to help. God's in control. God is in control. He knows how to best help us. He knows that. We need to continue to trust and have faith. Let's go back to John 11 and read just a little bit more. starting in verse 38. Jesus, once more deeply moved, came to the tomb. It was a cave with a stone laid across the entrance. "Take away the stone," he said. "But Lord," said Martha, the sister of the dead man, "by this time there is a bad odor, for he has been there 4 days." Then Jesus said, "Did not I tell you that if you believed, you would see the glory of God?" So they took away the stone. Then Jesus looked up and said, "Father, I thank you that you have heard me. I knew that you always hear me, but I said this for the benefit of the people standing here, that they may believe that you sent me." When he had said this, Jesus called in a loud voice, "Lazarus, come out." The dead man came out, his hands and feet wrapped in strips of linen and a cloth around his face. Jesus said to them, "Take off the grave clothes and let him go." I love Jesus' words there. Did I not tell you that if you believe, you will see the glory of God? Did I not tell you that? Which leads to my third point this morning. No matter how bad things get, there is always hope for a different ending. The words that the person portraying Martha said on the screen there at the end. There's hope for an ending. We have hope in Jesus. Mary and Martha thought that was it for Lazarus. And Jesus said, "Believe in me. Believe in me. There is a better ending for those who believe in me." Now, what about Jesus on the cross? Remember what I read this morning. I'll read it again. Matthew 27, 45 and 46. "Now from the sixth hour, there was darkness over all the land until the ninth hour. And about the ninth hour, Jesus cried out with a loud voice, saying, 'Eloi, Eloi, lama sabachthani?' That is, 'My God, why have you forsaken me?'" Jesus said, my God, why have you forsaken me?" Let me ask you a question. I want to ask you a question. What song do you sing when it's somebody's birthday? What do you sing? "Happy birthday." Seventh inning of a baseball game. What do you sing? "Take me out to the ball game." At midnight on New Year's, what do you sing? "Auld Lang Syne." For different situations, we have different songs. We have different songs. Guess what Psalm 22 says? Psalm 22, verse 1 and 2. My God, why have you forsaken me? Where are you so far from saving me from the words of my groaning? Oh my God, I cry by day, but you do not answer, and by night, but I find no rest." David penned those words. It's a psalm, or it is a song. And Jesus is echoing this psalm as he is on the cross. Because this was a time of suffering for David in his life. And Jesus is singing, or it could be thought of that he's singing there, showing that suffering. You go down to verse 7 and 8 of Psalm 22. "All who see me mock me. They make mouths at me. They wag their heads. He thrusts in the Lord. Let him deliver him. Let him rescue him, for he delights in him." This sound familiar for what Jesus is going through? Does this sound familiar? Look further down on the song. "For dogs encompass me, a company of evildoers encircles me. They have pierced my hands and feet. I can count all my bones. They stare and gloat over me. They divide my garments among them, and for my clothing they cast lots." Sound familiar? And then listen to the song. Psalm 22, verses 27 through 31. All the ends of the earth shall remember and turn to the Lord. And all the families of the nations shall worship before you. For kingship belongs to the Lord, and he rules over the nations. All the prosperous of the earth eat and worship, even the one who could not keep himself alive. Even the one who could not keep himself alive. Posterity shall serve him. It shall be told of the Lord to the coming generation. They shall come and proclaim his righteousness to a people yet unborn, that he has done it. That he has done it. All this time in ministry, Jesus says, you're not alone. You have a Lord who loves you, a God who loves you. You are not alone. And on the cross, we assume that he's only saying this because he feels alone. And at that moment, yes, he feels alone. Because he's carrying the weight of the world. He's carrying the sin of the world. And God has turned his head. And he feels alone. Deserted, abandoned, forsaken. But he knows that's not the end. Maybe he's saying those specific words not just because he feels alone at the moment, but because he knows what the outcome will be. He knows that once he gives his life, people will be able to be saved through his sacrifice. That there will be hope. Because he has done it. He has paid the price. He has died on the cross. He has sacrificed himself. We have hope in Jesus Christ. He will not forsake us. Which is why I titled this sermon, Not Forsaken. The plan is completed. Jesus died for us. And to take what we usually say around the Christmas season, Emmanuel, God is with us. God is there, and he is with us. He was with Mary, he was with Martha, he is with Lazarus, he was with all the people that was there, and he is with us. And he wants to be with us for the rest of eternity. He wants to be with us the rest of eternity. But we must make a choice. Do we want to be with him? Are we going to trust him? Or are we going to say, Lord, I don't see it. You're not there. You're not following me. Forget it. I'm not going to follow you. Or are we going to say, you've been there all along. And I will believe. And I will trust. This morning we offer a time. You come forward and say, I choose to trust you. I choose to follow you, make you Lord and Savior. And say that with our words, say that with the way we live by repenting. And say that by burying ourselves and saying we're going to start new. Burying ourselves with baptism and starting a new life. You can do this today. Come forward. Start new. Make Jesus your Lord. He does not want to leave you. He wants to be with you for an eternity. Once you do that today, come forward and make him Lord. Come today as we stand and sing a song of invitation.